Welcome to the Research Data Alliance Data Streams podcast series, a place where researchers, scientists, and data professionals share their experiences of working together in the global Research Data Alliance community to address and solve the challenges of sharing and managing research data. Today, we will hear from members of one of the newest RDA groups, the Data Granularity Working Group, about what their motivation was to start this group, what challenges and potential impacts they will address, what outputs they have planned, and how you can get involved. I'm joined today by the three co-chairs of this group, Brigitte Amathiak, senior scientist at GESIS Social Science Infrastructure Institute in Germany, Katie McNeil, research data program manager at Harvard University, and also a member of the ORCID Board of Directors, Raina Jenkins, the Data Stewardship Manager for Ocean Networks Canada at the University of Victoria, and Guan Yang as our moderator today, and she will be interviewing the work group chairs. I am thrilled to have all of you with us today, and thank you for taking the time to introduce us to the activities of the RDA Granularity Working Group.
Thank you so much, Stephanie. I'm Guan Yang, a member of this working group. I work in the National Institute of Education in Singapore to manage educational research data. I'm very pleased to be here asking questions to my working group's chair and co-chairs. Okay, let's start with this question. What is data granularity? Katie, would you like to share your understanding of this concept?
Yeah, so this is Katie speaking. So that's a very good question because there is inherently ambiguity and the definitions and discussions currently available on this topic are of debate as to what granularity is because it's not a set fixed definition. There are a lot of nuances, but that said, here's a good enough starting point for us to explain. Data granularity refers to the way that we define the size and level of our data points, data sets, and their collections, and how data infrastructure deals with these predefined levels. Generally speaking, a data set is an aggregation of smaller units. An example of a smaller unit would be, say, the temperature at a particular location at a particular point in time. Data sets are then accessible from a single source with accompanying metadata. Collections then group data sets together, and it's often possible to discover or download subsets of these data sets and also to create custom combinations of data within and across collections. Things can get even more complicated when considering collections that may include data sets from more than one repository. So in our working group, we have been referring to the ways we can define granularity in terms of these dimensions, including things like space, time, and themes. And conventions for what these levels should be and how they're used really vary from one repository to the next. So we hope to gain a better consensus on these concepts and provide guidance on data granularity choices through our working group.
That's very impressive. Okay, so a follow-up question. What is the scope and scale of the issue you're tackling with? Raina, would you like to answer this question?
Sure, this is Raina. The scope and scale is actually quite vast since data granularity concepts influence or are influenced by the many factors such as data citations, how we discover data, access data, interoperability, how we analyze the data, and how we even curate and deposit that data and the workflows we use to do that. These choices are challenged by sometimes conflicting perspectives and use cases from the researchers, repositories, and publishers. For instance, the way a data depositor might want to submit their data set may differ a lot from the way a researcher may want to search or query for that data. So the researcher who's depositing the data might think of their data via the project that it was for versus the person who's searching for data would be looking by geography or time. So in order to meet these various demands, the repositories really need to design very modular and flexible systems, and they still have to ensure long-term preservation and persistent DOI allocations. So they're expected to evolve with technology and shift with best practices, but still have this element of permanence in what they do. So then we have publishers with yet another perspective. So ultimately, data granularity affects the entire data lifecycle, so from preservation and with preservation and innovation needed to be balanced all along the way. In our data granularity working group, we're really hoping to provide some recommendations that are discipline agnostic, but with some examples for guidance in specific disciplines as well.
I see. That's really not an easy issue. So I'm wondering, what is the challenge that you're trying to solve that made you want to start this group? Let's start with you, Brigitte.
Hi, thank you. I'm Brigitte, and I come from a research perspective. I study data discovery with social scientists, and granularity is really a very relevant issue there. I work a lot with surveys, and the data I work with consists of all the answers that were given by all these different people. And one would think that is actually fairly straightforward, you know, like an Excel type sheet of kind of data set, but it's actually not so clear cut what the relevant measurements are here. There are the individual questions in the questionnaire, and some of them are really super important and have, you know, lots of citations and are used in very many surveys. And then some surveys are repeated regularly or in different countries. And then you will want to have data sets that put all these surveys together. But for other applications and use cases, you also have them individually so that the people that aren't interested in everything can also just work with the smaller slices. So you might have like maybe even 100 different data set for what was originally only one survey, or you may only have one data set, and it really depends on how the authors wanted to set them up. So there's lots of variety in how people want to systematize this. As you can imagine, doing a discovery system for all of that is actually very challenging, and that's my job. So imagine, like, for that, I work a lot with library systems, and the advantage of library systems is that all books are more or less the same size. And data sets are really very, very different in that some are really small and some are huge. Some are very similar to each other, but not exactly identical. And so there's lots of challenges that is really super interesting. And I could talk about this for a long time. One of the things that I really love about this group is that there's all kinds of other people that have similar problems and challenges in their domains. And what we do a lot is that we just talk about what everybody's been doing and what kind of solutions they have. And yeah, it's really nice to just be in the group and have someone who is also like working on these things.
Thank you, Brigitte. Rina, same question to you. Can you share the challenges that you are trying to solve?
Thank you. I became especially aware of the importance of this data granularity topic when we were making decisions on our data citation applications at Ocean Networks Canada. Since I wanted to really ensure our approach was consistent and sustainable over the long term, although we decided to follow guidance that was already available from the RDA Data Citations Working Group for dynamic data and query subsets, these recommendations don't specify exactly how to define a data set. So we needed to really think carefully and evaluate that aspect of how we implemented it. One consideration for DOI allocations is our ability to collect metrics in a way that would be comparable within our own repository, but also in comparison to data sets that are published elsewhere. The interoperability question is really key, since oceanographic data is aggregated often by third-party portals and of course, merged by the data users when they're doing their own research. So when we looked at data granularity best practices, these became really important to have developed at an international scale so that we have increased consistency within the discipline, but also some at least higher similarities across disciplines. Right now, we're in the process of figuring out our approach for data set collections, which are becoming increasingly high priority at our institute, but this is also a very emerging topic in the broader research data management landscape and publisher communities. Beyond that, these choices factor into our repository choices and features for how we allow users to discover data and how we provide metadata. For example, at Ocean Networks Canada, we operate cabled ocean observatories, and this requires swapping instruments out for maintenance and calibrations. So we decided to consider each deployment of an individual instrument as a data set, whereas the sequence of that same instrument over time at that given station will be thought of as a dataset collection. This allows us to have granular metadata for that specific deployment, including the attributions for the parties involved. It also means that if one deployment needed versioning because there was, say, an issue with calibration on that instrument, the entire multi-year time series does not need a new DOI, but only that specific subset. Another example that we have is vertical profiles of temperature, salinity, oxygen, and other variables. And so each cast or profile as they are called, has been deemed to be one data set, whereas all casts at a given latitude and longitude are considered a collection. So those are some examples that we are facing at Ocean Networks Canada, and one of the main reasons I'm really looking to participate in this working group.
Thank you, Reina, for the super detailed sharing. Next, the question, where are you in the stage of your group's work? Katie, can you answer this one?
Sure, happy to. So like many RDA groups, we're doing our work in three phases. Right now, in our first 6 months of getting started, we're focusing on gathering information about the issue. Then the second 6 month phase, we'll move into writing up our recommendations into a guideline document and formal use cases. And then in the final phase, we will share those outputs for feedback, as we're really keen on ensuring that this works best for the community. So please stay tuned for that, because we will really want to hear from you. So right now, what we're doing in our first 6 months gathering phase, we're working on three main projects, each led by one of the co-chairs. The one that I'm leading with a group of committed volunteers, including Guang Yuan here, thank you, is working on compiling and writing a set of use cases on data granularity. These are intended to describe scenarios in which the granularity of the data involved is significant to inform the kinds of features that data infrastructure needs to support across all areas of the research data lifecycle where data granularity comes up: discovery, access, interoperability, analysis, citability, and curation. For example, take data citation. Many repositories have been contending with a level at which they enable and provide structured citations for data using a DOI registered with DataCite, for example. In addition to citation for an entire data set, to what extent should data repositories enable formal citations for custom data sets, individual data points, and/or files compiled by multiple different data sets? These are debates. Given the complexity of the field, our use cases are designed to surface important questions for consideration as much as to provide any answers. And now I'll pass it to Bugita, who will talk about a survey that she's running.
Yes, so one of the things that we were really interested in is what is even already there in terms of granularity, and what kind of data different repositories already have, and what kind of policies they use to ensure certain kind of homogeneity, or whatever the policies are that they are using granularity. So if you are involved with a repository, we have designed a survey for repositories concerning granularity with our partners at Re3 Data, and are now distributing the survey. And the motivation for the survey is to have a kind of overview, what kind of data and on which granularity level data repositories have, and what kind of policies they are using concerning granularity. So if you are involved with a repository and you haven't filled out the survey yet, please consider doing so. You can find all the information you need for that on our website. And now, Reina, what are you up to?
A few of us are looking at existing constraints and frameworks for data granularity based on common metadata schemas and prior RDA endorsed outputs. For example, we are evaluating dimensions that typically are used to denote boundaries to data sets in the metadata schemas, such as temporal, geographic, and thematic dimensions. We're also looking for how these metadata schemas represent relationships to other data sets and structures for subsetting or for collections. In terms of prior outputs, we have seen numerous groups that acknowledge the need for better granularity guidance, although there is at this point still not anything defined for how to exactly do that. We do find that there are terminology in groups like the RDA Data Foundation and Terminology Working Group that we can build upon. And so we do hope to take in their inputs as we go and build on what's come before us.
Okay, thanks everyone. Following what Reina was saying, I'm wondering, how does this granularity work build on previous work in the community? So Katie, would you like to say more things about this?
Yes. So as I mentioned, granularity is interrelated across nearly the full range of RDA groups and topics: discovery, access, interoperability, analysis, citability, and curation. And so really a key part of our work is collating and building on these other groups' work, not reinventing the wheel, and presenting the full set of issues in a unified way through the lens of data granularity. So, for example, our current groups are working through a list of existing RDA outputs and pulling out use cases and constraints that were already identified in there from outputs such as The data discovery paradigms interest group created a set of user requirements and recommendations for data repositories. The data versioning working group created principles and best practices in data versioning. The RDA WDS Scholarly Link Exchange working group created the Scholix metadata schema for the exchange of scholarly communication links and many, many more. So we're really excited to work with these various groups.
Wow, awesome. So what's the desired impact for the outcomes of this group's work? How about we start with you, Brigitta?
Yeah, I think that granularity is a very useful concept to think about a plethora of challenges and issues that we have to deal with in research data management. So I think one of the outcomes that I would wish for is that we were able to put granularity on the map as a dimension or a concept that people can think about and something that can frame their thinking around what they are currently doing. So Katie, you have any ideas on that?
I really agree with that. And I think the other thing that I'll add is one of the groups that we're thinking about are providers of research infrastructure, such as repositories like the one that you work in. And so that these providers can develop and implement a deliberate, conscious approach to dealing with data granularity, and really one that factors in the context and the various complexities, as there's no formulaic simple answer to these complex issues for groups to think about it in a deliberate way.
I see, and I totally agree. Then, are you aware of any significant barriers or blockers that you will need to overcome? Reina, would you like to answer this one?
Sure. In developing guidelines, we really need to balance the need for recommendations that are concrete and actionable, but also not too prescriptive. Even the terminology, consistency, and concept awareness can go a long way. The trick will be to examine all the evidence we are gathering that affects such a wide scope of the data lifecycle and distill that down to really the most impactful and clear recommendations. We might not be able to address every use case, but we hope to account for the most prolific. Logistically, right now we are working across many time zones and with busy schedules. So that's a challenge that we continue to face, like most working groups out there.
That's so true. Okay, next question, an easy one. So what would you like about being involved in this group? Let's still start with Katie.
So for me, two things stand out. One is it's such an interesting topic because it touches everything, all of these aspects of the data lifecycle and how we deal with data. And then the second thing is what you all were just saying is what's working with the people in the group, engaged and interested professionals such as yourselves from a variety of settings and all over the world. It's a real benefit of being involved in RDA, and it's what I love doing, working with this group. What about you, Brigitta?
Yes, I completely agree. We have a talk every month and a very lively discussion that is super fun. And all the different interesting people that you meet. So yeah, I can only recommend joining our group. It's a really good time investment.
Okay, thank you, Brigitta, and thank you, Katie. Last question. Then how can listeners to this podcast get involved in the project? What is the good way to engage in the group and its work? So Brigitta, would you like to start?
Yes, of course. The first thing that you should do is to go to the website and also look at the link to the survey and fill it out if that's applicable to you. But I think Katie will speak about this a little bit more generally.
We'd love to have more people join this group as we really benefit from a diversity of perspectives. If you're not yet a member of RDA, do join. And when you are a member, you can find our working group listed on the group's page. Join it and you'll be added to our mailing list. The projects we have going on at the moment that we talked to you about, there are lots of different ways you can contribute and chunks of time that are feasible for you. So please do reach out to the chairs, any of us individual, if you have any questions. We'd love to talk more with you and people in the community about this work and how it relates to what you're doing.
Okay, so does anyone has anything more to add on? Reina, do you want to start?
I think we've covered all what we needed to say here today, but thank you. And we've had a wonderful time being a part of this podcast.
Yes, thanks so much to everybody and Guangyuan for you for moderating.
Thank you.
And thank you, the dear listeners, for staying with us this far, and have a nice day.
I think that's all for today. Thank you everyone for the conversation and sharing your valuable insights, stories, and experiences.
Thank you, Brigitte, Katie, and Raina for sharing with us today and for Guanyuan for conducting the interview. We certainly do recognize and thank all of you for the enormous contributions and commitment you have given to this RDA community. Thanks to the listeners for joining our podcast, and please visit the RDA website at rd-alliance.org to join the community. Thanks for listening. We've had an update since recording this podcast. Katie McNeil, one of the presenters, has joined FASEB, the Federation of American Societies for Experimental Biology, as the program director of the DataWorks program.
The Data Streams podcast series is hosted by the Research Data Alliance U.S. region and funded by the U.S. National Science Foundation. Upbeat Theme Loop, created by Mirth Nirona, is used under a Creative Commons license. For more information about the group or outputs discussed on today's podcast, or to listen to other episodes, find us at rd-alliance.org/podcast or on the Research Data Alliance's YouTube channel. Thanks for listening.